Reformed Church.
What is the confidence that you have in yourself? And, you know, I think most people that are familiar with certain verses would say, oh, yeah, like, I don't have any confidence in myself. My confidence is in Christ, right? But just, you know, before answering it that way, you know, some of the things that we could look at are, how disappointed are you with yourself, right? How disappointed are you with yourself when you do something wrong? How disappointed are you with your actions ever, right? And truly, if the answer to that is, you know, that's something that happens in your life, right? That you do something and then you're disappointed by your actions. That disappointment by your actions means you had some sort of expectation for yourself, right? And if you had some sort of expectation for yourself, right, that means that you had a certain confidence in your ability, right? Because if not, obviously, then you wouldn't have any expectation, right? If you can do nothing right, then your expectation of yourself should be zero, right? And how much lower can you get to a zero expectation, right? When you do something wrong, you're like, okay, well, right? Thanks for Jesus, right? Thank you, Lord, for your gift of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me because I couldn't do for myself. So it's just a cool thing to think about is what have you, what type of a standard do Christians hold themselves to, right? Like what level of disappointment do we have in our actions? And obviously the question's been answered many times before. For you to have no expectation of yourself, of your fleshly ability, right? And I know people wouldn't put it like that. They wouldn't say fleshly ability, right? They would talk about, like, I tried my best, you know, and my best wasn't good enough, or I was trying real hard, or I was trying not to do that, or whatever. But when you say you're trying, you're talking about your flesh, right? It wasn't the Spirit of God doing that through you. The Spirit of God doesn't try through you, right? The Spirit of God does it. So when we're trying our best, when we're doing the best that we can with what we have and all of that garbage that we talk about, what we're talking about is that we have a certain expectation for ourselves. And anytime, and this is something that should probably just be said, right? Anytime that you set an expectation for yourself, you're going to fail your expectation sooner or later, right? Always, you're always going to fail that expectation, because if we could, you know, that's why how easily this ties into righteousness, right? Because if he did obviously what we could not do, he did what we could not do, and I'll tell you what, I'll take one step back to tell you how I kind of ended up where I first started talking right this evening, which is not actually where my thought process began. My thought process began actually thinking about how Paul said to live is Christ, right? And I was just thinking about that. And that always has been something, you know, kind of like when I had thought about it in years past, I thought, like, to live is Christ, like, that's something that you get to, right? That you get to say that one day, that to live is Christ, right? That's kind of how I used to interpret that. Like, well, Paul could say to live is Christ because look at his actions and look how he was living. So to him, to live is Christ, right? But I can't say that to live is Christ. But in actuality, when you say that, like, to live is Christ is a statement. It's not something you achieve, right? When you say to live is Christ, you're saying the only place where life comes from is from Jesus, right? That's what you're saying, that the only one that was able to get life to you, right, for your life was Christ, right? In other words, we are, Christians are alive, right? We do have life. And that life that we have is only because of righteousness, right? That life that we have is only because of righteousness. And so when you start thinking along those lines, this life that I have, so to live, in other words, you could say to die is my fleshly actions, but to live is Christ, right? To die, right? For me to die, right? For me to die is just, right, carnal mindedness leads to death, right? So for me to die, it's just the flesh, right? It's just carnal mindedness. It's just the death of this world. But anything that has to do with life in me, all of that has to do with Christ. And the interesting part is whenever we talk about an expectation that we want to meet, whenever we talk about our actions, whenever we talk about outward righteousness, whenever we talk about doing things right, right? the context of that should be, right, the Spirit of God. The context of, in other words, what empowers us to right living, right? What empowers us to right living should be the power of God on the inside of us that we have because of the righteousness that is not our own, right? We shouldn't gauge, have a dependency on our actions based on what we can do right or wrong, or the best that we can do, or, you know, the best that we can do with what we have, or the best that we can do given the circumstance, or whatever it is that people say, right? But obviously that's the world and that's understandable of the world. But when it comes to us, to live is Christ. Yeah, that's a statement. I would have no life if it were not because of what Jesus did, right? And because of the righteousness that is a gift to me. But so again, when you get on that vein of thinking that, wow, the only reason why I can have life, the only reason why I have received the life that I possess is because of the righteousness that is a gift to me because of everything that Jesus has done, then if you know that the very life that you have, the power that you have on the inside of you that empowers you, to every good work, right? The power that you have on the inside of you that empowers you to every good work is only possible through the righteousness that is God's as a gift to you because of everything that he did. It had nothing to do with you. Your works end up finding no place. In other words, then you end up being, if we can go real quick, right. Philippians chapter 1 is actually where the Lord mentions that, right? In verse number 21 of Philippians 1, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." And he talks about the Lord being shown in his body, magnified in his body. And he says there, "For me to live is Christ." And he talks about how for him to live in the flesh, right? He talks about in Philippians chapter 1 there that for him to live on in the flesh, for the people, it is profitable because Christ would live through him. And he talks about how he's been possessed by the Spirit of God and that he endeavors to continue, right, walking in the Spirit so that he could attain to that for which the Spirit of God possessed him. In other words, that the Spirit of God possessed him to live through him. So he says, that's all that I want, right, is as I live in the flesh for the Spirit of God to have his fruit through me. Right? So he says, you know, for me to stay, that's the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God is towards you in that manner, right? So it's to their advantage. But then he goes off in verse 13 of chapter 2, just really quickly, right? That was chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 13, he goes off and he starts talking about what we talked about a bit last service or the service before. He said, "For it's God that works in me, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." So he talks about that to live is Christ, and he says, the power that's at work in me, right, giving me the will, the desire in my heart, and the power to do it is God that's working on the inside of me. And then he gets to the very next chapter, chapter 3. And if we can look at verse number 3, right, chapter 3, verse number 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Right? So, and he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," in verse number 4, "if any man thinks that he has, wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more." He says, "Circumcised on the eighth day," he said he was, "of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." So he's talking about all his actions prior to his salvation, right? "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church," right? Very zealous man. "Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things," he says in verse 7, "but what things were gained to me, those things that I used to lean on, those things that I count as loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and can and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And verse number 9 says, we're wrapping up here, and verse number 9 says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law," right, "but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith," right? The righteousness which is of God by faith. So he makes an awesome point there, right? Because and then he goes on to say, obviously in verse, sorry, if we can jump down to verse 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend," right, "that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So he's talking about to be able to possess that for which Christ Jesus possessed him, right? So it just makes, you know, when you fly through those three chapters like we just did, what you really see is you see Paul saying, right? Or the Lord through Paul, really showing us how life comes from Christ, and that life is because of righteousness, right? And that he knows that it is God that's at work on the inside of him, empowering him towards all things. And then he says, you know, before Christ, I used to count all these things as advantageous to me, but today, living by the power of God on the inside of me towards good works, toward being empowered towards all things, right? He says, today I count all those things as loss. I count them all as dung. And he says, finding, verse number 9 again, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, right? So it's just a really cool point that he makes there. He says, and being found in Christ as not having my own righteousness. So when we say now, you know, for me to live is Christ, that's obviously a direct correlation to the righteousness of God that is a gift to you. And that because of that righteousness, now we have life. And because we have life and we have that power of God working through us by that same righteousness, right, we are able to partake of that power that's on the inside of us towards all these good works. So to be able to end where we started, you know, you really see how then your expectation of yourself gets really low and very, very small, right? So you have no expectation of yourself to be able to ever attain to anything good, right? Romans 3, I believe, right, talks about that there's none that are righteous. That's not even one, right? There's no good that would come from you apart from Christ. So if we understand these things, and actually even I'll tell you this last thing, when Jesus, he said, you know, he didn't have high expectations for people because he knew what was in man, right? So he had no expectation of them. So, but by the same token, the reason why Christ had no expectation of them is because obviously the world doesn't live by the Spirit of God. The world lives by the spirit of the world, right? The world lives by their own desires and by their own lusts. So by the same token, that which is of the flesh, that is of this world and not of God, it's still the same predicament, right? There's still no confidence to have in it. So having no expectation of yourself is the same thing as saying having no confidence in the flesh. The thing is, people, when they talk about flesh, they want to think about sinful, bad things, right? But in reality, what it's talking about having no confidence in the flesh is having no confidence in your ability, right? Accomplishing, allowing the salvation that's on the inside of you to be worked out in trembling, right? And in reverence for the Lord, right? Knowing that, you know, I have no confidence in my own ability. And that's essentially what the apostle said, right? He said, when he would come to the church, when he would come to preach, he said, I would come with no confidence in myself, no expectation, nothing good to say, nothing good to offer, but I would come to you in the power, right, of the Spirit of God. Why? Because that's the only thing that could ever offer anything to anyone else, because it's the only thing that has ever done anything for you, right? The power of God and the righteousness that we have because of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.